minutes after the 1 o'clock hour. Welcome back to the whole show, powered by PDC Energy. I'm live from the Allo Communications Studios. If you guys want to get at us on the text line, First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. That's 888-530-0043. Fun first hour, fast-moving first hour. Dalton Reisner joined the program, left guard for the Denver Broncos, heading into a contract year. I'm excited to see what they can do. You know, this AFC West, as we're going to keep outlining throughout the next couple of weeks as we approach training camp July 27th, it's, you know what, we can talk about the overall NFL picture, but if you can't win in your division, you're not going to go anywhere. That's typically how it's going to work. Very rarely do you see a team really struggle in their division and still find a way to find success when you're playing six games in your division and six games against three of the, you know, all three of the teams outside of Denver, and maybe all four. I don't think you're crazy if you think one of those, or several of those teams are going to the playoffs, especially with the, you know, the last couple of years, the new addition, the new playoff spot, the extra game, all of that. They are stacked. We outlined it a little bit yesterday. I think, you know, Derek Carr has some tremendous weapons. Justin Herbert has some tremendous weapons. Patrick Mahomes, you know, losing Tyreek Hill is a big deal. That is a big deal. How will that affect him early on? How will that affect the Chiefs early on? They got a tough schedule to start the season. So we're kind of doing this. We do our segment today in the NFL. We'll transition to a little bit more of the X's and O's talk, where we look position by position. Today we're going to focus on running back. So let's get to it. Today in the AFC West, shall we? Let's break into that a little bit. As stacked as they are, even if the Broncos weren't in this division, this would be a heavily covered division. But as we know, it's, you know, the Chiefs are the darling of this division. The Chargers are the up-and-coming team that just missed out last year in the playoffs. The Raiders are, even through all the turmoil they've gone through the last couple of years, they are, just a solid team. Derek Carr, that's kind of who he is. He's just a solid quarterback. He's not going to crack the top five. He's going to be a good player for you, but he's not, you know, he's not in that upper echelon, so to speak, but he's close. In fact, if you guys go check out my tiers, in not my actual tiers for my eyeballs, but my quarterback tiers at thewholeshow.com, you can see where I place all of the NFL quarterbacks, where they sit at this point. Today we're going to focus on the running game, the running backs in this. Dalton Reisner talked to us about, hey, it's about pounding the rock. That's who they're going to be. They're going to be a team that really gets after it. And I mean, listen, I was going to throw Melvin Gordon. I threw a quick Twitter poll up. Who's going to be the better running back in the AFC West, or who is the better running back in the AFC West? If I could have added a fifth, I would have added Melvin Gordon. But I wanted to add a representative from each team. So Javonte Williams, who I believe is going to be the starter, although I don't know how much that really matters. Clyde Edwards-Helaire from Kansas City. Austin Eckler with the Chargers, our Eaton Reds boy. Josh Jacobs from the Raiders. Right now, Eckler's leading it. 46% of the votes on my Twitter poll are going to Austin Eckler. Javonte Williams next. Josh Jacobs third. Clyde Edwards-Helaire getting zero of the votes, which makes sense. I mean, he had 500 yards last year. Everybody else that we're talking about was closer to 1,000. I would just change it around. I think Javonte Williams is the better back. But just get used to hearing this. You're going to hear a lot of Javonte Williams, Melvin Gordon, and Austin Eckler doing magic next year.
Javonte Williams takes the handoff. And Williams, nice second effort, still going. Javonte Williams! Melvin Gordon looking for a big run. There goes Melvin Gordon turning on the afterburners, being chased. And all the way to the house, 70-yard touchdown.
Slater the block on Miles, and there goes a pass to Eckler with a block by Fowler. He's going to take it in. Corkscrewing for six.
Those guys are the class of the division when it comes to running backs, and the Broncos have two of them. That's what's so beautiful about that, those clips right there, Jades, is because when we look at it, Melvin Gordon and Javonte Williams are starting caliber backs, and you got two of them, interchangeable, so to speak. So I think that's obviously the best duo. You know, as far as like we're talking collective running backs there, the Broncos are, it's a no-brainer there. They have the best group of running backs for sure. For like the Chargers, Austin Ekeler, great. And he's, you know, they got Isaiah Spiller as his backup, but Ekeler is, he's a pass catcher too. Like he's going to be involved a lot more in the pass game. You know, last year he had 911 yards rushing, but he had 647 yards receiving and 8 touchdowns. So, you know, when we do these debates about best running back, you do get caught up in just looking at the yardage and everything. Well, Javonte and Melvin Gordon, to me, are the better running backs, but who's the better player? You know, looking last year, Javonte and Gordon combined had 500 yards receiving, combined. So that's not their game. Who's the better overall football player? Probably does go to Austin Ekeler. But the best running back as far as what you're asking them to do, it's Javonte Williams, even coming off of his rookie season. Jades, this is a great transition into something new that we're doing. It is still nameless. In fact, it's called the Nameless segment with Jades of Spades, your little factoid of the day. I love these. And this one kind of pertains to our conversation a little bit. So, Jade, bring it on. What do you have for me today?
Yeah, well, today's kind of an interesting one. I took a look at the broken tackles for all the running backs in the league. And,
okay, good, yeah.
The out of the top 25 is what I was looking at. Javonte Williams is number one across the league.
He's number one based on from last year's stats. He was the number one tackle breaker in the NFL.
Yeah, he averaged 0.31 broken tackles per attempt.
0.31, wow. I mean, it did seem like it, right? The guy never goes down on that after that first contact. Even as a rookie, he was never going down. Well, so he was first?
He was number one.
Wow.
And the AFC West as a whole was stacked. Josh Jacobs is 4 with 0.26. Melvin Gordon, with the Broncos, obviously, is 11 at 0.22, and Austin Ekeler actually squeaks in at 24.
So Ekeler was in the top 25, and again, that makes sense, because when you think of Ekeler, you don't think of breaking a lot of tackles. You think more finesse, more getting out in the flats, and catching passes. Josh Jacobs, certainly a guy that does not go down to first contact. Melvin Gordon isn't like Javonte Williams. If a guy goes at him and tries to bring him down with an arm tackle, Williams is busting through that. Gordon's good at bouncing. He's got a good bounce rate. Like he can pop behind a line or pop off of a would-be tackler that's not really fully engaged and then bounce around him. You saw that a lot with Gordon. Williams is just going to run right through you.
Oh, I agree. I mean, it was evident in several of the plays between both of those two backs you have on the Broncos. And what I think is interesting is the only team that looks like it has a better broken tackle running back core, essentially, is the Cleveland Browns with DeErnest Johnson, Chubb, and Kareem Hunt.
Yeah, I mean, it's a good formidable trio, I guess you could say.
Oh, definitely.
The Broncos have got to stack up pretty high, though, if you're just talking about duos, running back duos. In an NFL now where it is about, you know, your first guy is important, but who's the second guy on your depth chart? Who's going to be the guy that can come in and offer that counterpunch? That's almost as important nowadays.
I feel like they've got to be top five for duos. I mean, they have to be.
Got to be.
I mean, the Vikings have to be up there, too. And I would say the Panthers as well.
Yeah, well, and the Chargers are excited because they, you know, they have their rookie that they took in the, what, fourth round? That's Spiller, to see if he can be a good counter. And again, doesn't always work out the way it did for Denver, where they get their rookie in the second round, and look how good he was. I mean, he's a big piece. I don't know if he's as big a piece as Patrick Surtain, who they took in the first round, but 2 years ago, or two drafts ago, I should say. But Javonte Williams and Pat Surtain, like those two guys both equally right now, I think, on both sides of the ball are guys that you're building around.
Well, and Brady, I'm not afraid to say it. I think Javonte Williams is going to be a top 10 back in the league this year.
Yeah, as far, I mean, he had a, what do you have, 918 yards last year, 901 yards. He's going to get a few more carries than he did last year. So he got, he and Gordon had the exact same amount of carries. Isn't that nuts? They had 203 carries each. And Williams' average was 4.4. Gordon's was 4.5. That split difference between 0.4 and 0.5, Gordon had 918, Williams had 903. Gordon had more touchdowns. He had 8 touchdowns. He also fumbled it one more time than Williams. I love that we like to say that Gordon's this awful fumbler and terror. He had 3. Williams had 2 as a rookie, and I get that. But, I mean, if you just look at 3 fumbles, it doesn't seem like that big a deal. They were just at really, really bad times. They both averaged over 50 yards a game. Javonte at 53, Gordon at 57. I'll be curious to see how this splits, though, the attempts. Like, is it still going to be 50-50? Or do you think it transitions to, okay, Javonte, you're the guy now. It's going to be 60-40. So you could see Javonte getting like 220 carries in the season, 230. Gordon's more like right around the 180 mark or something like that. And then, you know, potentially as Gordon gets older, you know, he missed one game last year. Could he miss more time as he gets older in his career? We always see that with running backs. Once they get close to that 30 years of age, that starts to decrease a little bit.
Personally, I'd like to see it closer to 70-30 in favor of Javonte.
Gordon just has so many good things about the way he runs the ball. And he does seem like he gets better as a season progresses, but he is 29. He's 29 years old. 30 used to be that mark of death, basically, for running backs. I've always loved Melvin Gordon. I wasn't nuts about the signing when they first got him for that. When they signed him for that first initial 2-year deal, it was like $16 million or something like that. I wasn't nuts about it because Gordon had gone on the holdout with the Chargers, didn't really pan out that year when it was the prove-it year. But make no mistake, I mean, I've loved watching him play. I loved seeing him in college. I thought he was going to be an awesome back. And you know, he turned out he's been solid. He's been a solid running back in his career so far.
Well, and I think you make an interesting point, though. He's 29. I mean, at what point does Father Time catch him? I think that Javonte just has the higher ceiling, I guess, is why I'm in favor of him.
Oh, no doubt. Javonte is the man. I mean, he's going to be a guy that can really, really put something together for you. Like I said earlier, they're going to build around him. Gordon's sitting at, in his career, at 6,000, just a little north of 6,100 yards with 53 touchdowns. You know, that those are decent numbers. 10,000 is always the mark to me of, you know, maybe, and again, you have to look at more than just the yardage, but 10,000 at least, then you're starting to be in the Hall of Fame chat, but we have to look at more than just that. He's only had 1 year of 1,000 yards, and he was close a couple of times. He's been at 900 3 other times outside of the 1,100, but he's a... Listen, either way you want to slice this, he's probably one of the best number twos in the game. Like I said, he could be a number one running back at a lot of different places. But Austin Eckler, the better overall player in the AFC West, I just don't think that, you know, as far as just straight up running back, I'm handing the ball off. Who you want to give it to? Javonte Williams is that guy. Even though he's just a rookie. Josh Jacobs is in that mix, too. He had 872 yards and 9 touchdowns. But again, as Javonte Williams, as a rookie, you had more production than him overall, and Jacobs missed a couple of games last year. So to be fair, I think he played in playing 15. He missed 2 games, but that would have, you know, you just play the stat game, the predictor game. If he would have played 2 more games, would he have easily jumped over the 1,000 yard mark? Probably needed 130 yards. So Jacobs is in that mix, but just something about the way Javonte Williams runs the football. So I did a poll on there on my Twitter account. If you don't follow me, check me out at Hull Show. Very easy to find me at Hull Show. It's the name of the show. I did best running back in the AFC West. Austin Eckler's winning this one almost at 50%. at this point. And I couldn't add a fifth. I would have added Melvin Gordon because Melvin Gordon is better than Clyde Edwards-Helaire. But I put the start, the number one from each team. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. Our game beer of the week from On the Rocks Liquor is from Breckenridge Brewing. It's a Mountain Beach Sour. Check out from selections from Breckenridge or any of your favorite adult beverages. They're over at On the Rocks Liquor off of Highway 34 on 47th Avenue. You know where Buffalo Wild Wings is, kind of catty corner of that. Great liquor store. And I like to bring this up. It's the cleanest liquor store you're ever going to find. That's important. You don't want to make it seem like you're in the Saw 5 movie where the floor is sticky and, you know, nothing's really organized and the door's kind of squeaky and all that crap. On the Rocks Liquor, man, locally owned and operated, John and Tony do a wonderful job with their staff. Check them out. Stop by on Fridays for their free tastings. This one's from 4 to 7. It's at On the Rocks. The good folks from Heart Distilling in Windsor will be on hand for the tastings. That's On the Rocks Liquor, 21 minutes after the hour. Short break coming up. More on my poll question, my Method Flow Products poll question of the day. Where will Colorado State end up? What is the best case scenario for them going forward when this current wave of conference realignment settles down? We'll discuss next. It's the whole show live from the Allo Communications Studios on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Insight you need before making that pick. Listen to Betting Across America with former Buff Mike Pritchard weekdays at 2 on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Kelly Lyle with the Fort Collins, Colorado, and your CSU Insider on the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back into the whole show. Shout out to my friends at No Limit Collectibles. Buy, sell, trade. There's no limit to what you can collect. They are getting the great stuff over there. I mean, they have so many different cards, sports memorabilia, Pokemon. It's a gift shop kind of, but on steroids for the sports fan, for the Pokemon fan, for the nerd fan. They do have it all in their new location in West Greeley, in that exact same shopping center that we're sending you to already at Cables Pub and Grill. So it's a 2-for-1 deal. Stop by Cables, grab something delicious to eat, and then check out the collection at No Limit Collectibles. Buy, sell, trade. There's no limit to what you can collect. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. That's 888-530-0043. What will happen with CSU? What are the options or the scenarios that are out there? The Method Flow Products poll question, available at wholeshow.com, is once this current wave settles, where do you see Colorado State? Let me see some of the some of the comments. Outside looking in, sadly, shouldn't be this way. Mountain West Conference is a runaway. This is all about splitting the pie with less schools. Nobody is interested in adding more schools to the mix. And again, that's what I was saying. It's if you're just adding teams to bolster up your popularity, you better make sure that team is bolstering the wallet as well. And, you know, the Oregon States, the Washington States, do they do that? Are they much bigger? Are they a much bigger name than Boise State at this point? Probably not. I mean, I remember when CSU opened their very first game at Canvas Stadium, they walloped Oregon State. And again, that doesn't necessarily mean everything, but you just have to... I like this texter. The game has changed. The Pac-12 and Big 12 know it's time to eat or be eaten. I'm sure both of these conferences are taking a run at each other as we speak. One will emerge on top, or both will begin adding the best of the rest. Things are just getting started. When all this is said and done, every remaining conference will have added schools. So you're saying that you think the Mountain West will add a school, a football program at this point. I just, again, there's the options for CSU, really. Okay, does the Pac-12 come in and start poaching Mountain West teams? I mean, you start looking at Boise State, San Diego State, Colorado State. I mean, the Big 12 I thought was dead, though. Here, I will say this. For everybody, including me, saying that the Pac-12 is likely to dissolve, we thought the Big 12 would be dead when Oklahoma and Texas signed up for the SEC. But they were able to get some decent moves. They got teams out of the AAC and BYU. Could the Pac-12 salvage their conference? Mountain West, to me, makes sense. To CSU media, makes sense. I don't know if that makes sense to a lot of, like, you know, CU media and stuff. San Diego State, basketball powerhouse. Boise State, so they've been a consistently good football program over the years. Is CSU in that mix? The value? I think the value with CU makes sense, too. I mean, if CU stays, it's a rivalry game. Might not mean a lot, but if both teams can finally figure it out, then it becomes big. Does CSU go to the Pac-12? I think that's more realistic than we're acting. I don't think it's that unrealistic. But if you're the Pac-12, compared to where we're sitting, does a Mountain West team really move the needle? I guess we'll find out. Can you build? That's the thing. Do you have time to build up these teams? Can you get Boise State in the Pac-12 and then Boise State just start taking over? Winning your non-conference. It's all about winning your non-conference games, right? I mean, that's huge. Does the Pac-12 just implode? And then the Mountain West gets all the leftovers? That's certainly something. I'm going to talk to Kevin Lytle from the Fort Collins, Colorado, and who put together a great scenario list in the Colorado one yesterday. Also, one of the options is to see CSU go to the Big 12 again. I just don't know, man. I think they're going to stay put, and if anything, it's going to be the Mountain West trying to grab a couple of these Pac-12 teams that are left over. I think that Boulder fans, CU fans, look at the idea of the Buffs going to the Mountain West as death. I mean, that's not an option. I don't believe for Rick George. I don't think it's an option for Colorado fans. I just don't. I think it's an option for Oregon State. I think it's, you know, CU is in the Denver market. That is a huge selling point. Oregon State, Washington State, like those teams, I could see Stanford even. Maybe it's not as belittling to them. But we can talk about it all we want, but I would love to see CU in the Mountain West, personally. But if you're more on the diehard CU side of things, you would look at that as an absolute loss and an absolute end game for you. I don't know what that really means going forward, but jobs, all that on the line. But we do know that the Pac-12's ramping up their negotiations for its next media rights agreements. They announced yesterday that its board of directors authorized negotiations after a meeting Tuesday morning. The conference's current media rights deal expires in 2024, which is why they should have signed an 8-year deal from the get-go instead of a 12-year deal or whatever. That 14, what was it, a 14-year deal? Who signs a 14-year contract or 12-year contract? I mean, this is absurd. Pac-12 decided to accelerate the timeline for negotiations, according to ESPN, for the next one, with two of its marquee programs headed out the door. Get this, the Pac-12 already had the lowest distribution number among Power 5 schools, paying its member institutions $19.8 million in 2021. Losing the Southern California schools would likely drop that number. Yeah, no doubt. That's why it's, you know, if you look at the Pac-12, even though Boise State's good, you can't use X's and O's in this conversation, I guess, right? Because even though Boise State's had a good winning percentage, does that move the needle coming over to the Pac-12? This is why CU's even in the discussion for the Big 12. If you're just talking winning percentages, CU has not been good in a while. A couple of years ago before Darnell got there, didn't they go to the Pac-12 championship a couple of years ago and get smoked? And then you look at Carl Durrell, they were in the COVID year, They were like 4-1 or something like that. I think he was the coach of the year in the Pac-12, but they didn't play the hard part of the Pac-12, even, if you want to call there, if there is such a thing, the hard part of the Pac-12. So they were good, but they didn't really run into any of the real juggernauts in that conference. But they have the market. CU football is kind of like the Rockies to me. The Rockies have the market. Colorado loves baseball. They love Coors Field. You're just not any good. They just can't build this team up. CU, same thing. You could get behind college football. CU consistently is just not any good. So it's you can't use the wins-losses argument in this debate. Let's read a text. Dixon's got an O on our running back discussion. Eckler's by far the best overall back in the West, and also the one that will have the least competition for carries. Gordon will get more love in Denver than you think. Chiefs brought in Ronald Jones, who will make it kind of a committee with Edwards-Helaire. Also re-signed McKinnon, who was solid in the playoffs. Raiders brought in Kenyon Drake and McDaniels, and New England's favorite Brandon Bolden, so we'll be a committee there too. So basically it's Eckler and then three teams with running backs by committee. I'm not going running back by committee as much with you with the Broncos. I still think Javonte Williams is going to get the bulk of the carries. He split carries as a rookie with Gordon. So his second year in, I think you're going to see more. I think he'll go from 203 to like 230 or something like that. I would not be shocked. 36 minutes after the hour. I want to thank one of our excellent sponsors here on the program, and that's Lemons Heating and Cooling. Get that HVAC system going. We're getting into some weird weather where there's storms and stuff all over the place, but also very hot out there. Lemons Heating and Cooling will get you fixed up. 970-567-0798. It's summertime. Don't mess around. If you got something not working right, something's not looking right, you need to call Lemons Heating and Cooling. I was outside the other day. Or no, this was last summer, excuse me. And my AC unit, I go out there and it's not working. And I look at the hose going into the back end of the unit. It's a frozen block of ice. Yeah, that's why. We weren't getting ice or we weren't getting AC because it was like frozen on the outside. I didn't know what the hell to do with it. Lemons Heating and Cooling certainly does. 970-567-0798. 37 minutes after the hour. Let's get the latest on the local Sports Flash.
This is Joel Cantalamessa from RamNation.com. You're listening to The Hall Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
I can tell you about Weldworks in downtown Greeley. Every Friday, they got their new beer releases. But really, you got to check out the new eatery inside Weldworks called the Annex. It's dialed in food to go along with your dialed in beer. And I keep telling you, try that double cheeseburger. You will thank me later. I'm a big fan of Juicy Bits, too. I mean, you guys, when you go into a liquor store and you see Juicy Bits, that's when you know. That beer is getting the job done. Extremely popular. Every liquor store around is picking it up. That is Weldworks in downtown Greeley. Dialed in beer, dialed in food. 43 minutes after the hour. You know, with all this football talk and everything, I haven't even got to some of the stories from yesterday, Jades. The Avalanche, of course, making sure they keep Cogliano. That was a big deal. They re-signed him, Andrew Cogliano, set to stick with the Avs. So one of the moves right there. Signed a one-year contract with Colorado on Tuesday. Still waiting to see what's going to happen with Darcy Kemper and Nazem Kadri as well. So, still some work to be done. As the Avs, certainly, you got to think heading into this offseason or heading into the offseason as a favorite. And we're not that far away from getting into camp and all that. Isn't that crazy? That's what stretching out your playoffs will do. That's what happens when you're a Stanley Cup champ. It feels like you just did this. In August, I think both the Nuggets, late August, the Nuggets and the Avs get into training camp. And then September, we look at preseason, and then October, we get the season going. So all that stuff is just ramping up. you know, July. It's the next 3 weeks, I should say, Jades. It's the calm before the storm. Then it's training camp for the Broncos. Then next thing you know, it's the Hall of Fame game. Then it's the preseason slate. Then it's the regular season. And by the time we're in the regular season for the Broncos and the NFL, we got college football rocking and rolling. We've got Nuggets and Avalanche getting set to go. So my favorite time of the year, for several reasons, is that September through December span. I love it. And I know it's July 6th and you guys are working on your crusty sunburns and mosquito bites and all that. Yeah, summer's fantastic, Jays. I look forward to it every year. Being red all the time, or sunburnt, burning, bug bites all over the ankles, you know, swampy lower section, if you will. It's just, it's fantastic. I don't know why anybody would be negative against the summertime. 45 minutes after the hour. Jamal Murray was in some action last night too. Like he's been practicing, he's been moving around a lot, and you know, that's got Nuggets fans certainly excited. He was playing one-on-one, Christian Brown in practice, kind of pushing him. That's good for fans, man. I mean, again, so much of what we're discussing here is going to come down to what he and Michael Porter Jr. can do. You know, we keep saying that, and that's the easy one. It's the true one. The Nuggets don't do much more than they did last year if those two guys don't play at a, you know, close to an all-star level. Doesn't mean they're all-stars. It's got to be close to that level. But the toughness factor on this team is also something that I think Denver did get better in. Can they get that to mix in with the hopeful finesse of what they're hoping with Jamal Murray and MPJ? Because you got MPJ, pure finesse player. He's not going to be known as like a tough, gritty player that's, you know, D'ing up the offensive guys, really tough, focused defense. He's not that guy. KCP is, though. You know, you look at Bruce Brown. He is, too, defensively. He's your D&3 kind of guy. They got grittier in the offseason so far. Is that enough? Are these moves big enough? Obviously, the key move, and I'm putting together deep thoughts from a wandering mind on this with what Calvin Booth has done so far in this most important offseason in Nuggets history. First and foremost, lock the Joker up. Boom, historic NBA deal done. He's with you for the foreseeable future. Can you build around him? It is now your responsibility to do that. Will Barton, I think Nuggets fans were done with him for a while. You might miss some of his scoring, but KCP can score about the same amount. Plus, he's a grittier, tougher defender. So now you have that upgraded. Starting lineup, assuming health, is good, is definitely recharged with Jamal, KCP, MPJ, Aaron Gordon, and the Joker. Second unit. This is all a big question mark. Can Bones Highland be the scorer off the bench that you need? Can Bruce Brown? Bruce Brown's going to score. He's going to get, you know, he didn't have a lot of attempts last year with the Nets. They just didn't ask that of him. But he can score. You know, and then DeAndre Jordan, it's a defensive type move. I don't know if he can play defense that much, but you want him down low to just be a stopgap while the Joker gets some rest. Zeke Nnaji, going to be important. There's just so many questions. Can Christian Brown be as good as Bones Highland was his rookie year? If Christian Brown is as good as Bones Highland was, and Bones Highland takes a step forward, you have scoring coming off the bench. But it's all about getting tougher and grittier because you think you have the scoring. Again, assuming the health. 48 minutes after the hour. Short break coming up on the whole show, and then we'll get to what's on the tube tonight. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. It's Northern Colorado's Voice on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
It's baseball season, and the Colorado Rockies can be heard on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Chris Abshire, Fort Collins, Colorado, and you are listening to the whole show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back to the show. Just about to wrap up another edition of the whole show. A lot of fun today. Dalton Reisner joined me in the first hour. If you missed that, podcast available at thewholeshow.com, 1310kfka.com, Spotify, Amazon, iTunes, all that stuff. You want to get your podcast, just find it. Find the whole show. We're out there. Download it. If you can't listen to the whole show live, we've got you covered. As soon as this is over, Jade's puts together a mean podcast as soon as the program is over with. The Rocks and the Dodgers going at it tonight at 8:10. We'll have that game for you tonight on 103.1 and 1310. And Rocky's just looking to win one of these games here against the Dodgers. I think, is the season series now tied? Or do the Rockies still have one up on them? Dodgers got this series, but the Rockies won the first two. So, Rock's trying to get this thing done. Who's pitching tonight? Like, I have no idea who's pitching tonight. It was supposed to be Senzatella. But I think Mitch White's pitching for the Dodgers, right? They have some injuries in their lineup as well. So I take the over in this game, I guess. I don't know what it is, but maybe the bats go off a little bit in this game tonight for the Rockies. They need a win. We'll see. 35-46. You know, I kind of start to get my hopes up. But I wasn't expecting the Rockies to beat the Dodgers in L.A. But this is going to be all about the division in the month of July and starting things off on the wrong foot, no doubt about it, for Colorado. Well, they did win the series against Arizona. Thank you very much, C.J. Crone. But they dropped this one to Los Angeles. Now they're going to go on the road for a four-game set beginning tomorrow night at Arizona. Austin Gomber, I believe, will be pitching, and we'll kind of get back into the Gomber. You know, Cool will go, Freeland and Marquez, and we'll see what happens with Senzatella down the stretch. Our Method Flow Products poll question, a lot of feedback on this one, but also everybody kind of agreeing, again, at thewholeshow.com. Some movement on the Pac-12, however. Where will Colorado State end up after the current wave of conference realignment? 60% say they're going to remain in the Mountain West. Second in line is 20% of the hooligans saying they're going to the Pac-12. There's a chance they could go to the Pac-12. 14% say going to the Big 12, and 4% are going with other. That is the safety net. It's called a whole show safety net because there's so many other options. You just put other, but 4% of you believe that it will be something else other than the main items listed in Mountain West, Pac-12, Big 12. Either way, it does feel like this is the most important season coming up for CSU. If nothing is decided and we wait and see, more conference realignment will continue to happen, whether we get it done before the season ends or before the offseason ends or not. So all you need to do is go win. If you're CSU, you got to go win. Wyoming, I don't care. I know you don't have the market, but wins aren't going to hurt. Those teams, you just got to go out there, see you, got to win. It's all about winning, more so than ever, if you're trying to build that resume and show a conference what you can do. That's going to do it for us. We got Betting Across America coming up next. Good night, Northern Colorado.